Well, hey, I'm glad to have you aboard this week's podcast, everybody. Thanks for joining me. And we are covering this week, on one side of the ring, you've got single-family homes. Battling on the other side of the ring, you've got apartments. Which is the best? Which investment is the best for you, particularly? Which one should you be considering, or should you be considering both? Which direction should you go? That's what we're going to talk about on this podcast. And I'm going to be giving you some things to think about regarding both kinds of investments. And I'm going to go in a direction that many of you probably won't expect, because I suggest, as many of you have been with me for so long, you probably already think you know which way I'm going to go. In terms of what I prefer, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. And I may not be going as much in that direction as you think. If you're new or newer to Darren Garman Paranoid Banker World, you may not know anything that you may not know what I'm talking about at all. You have to have been with me a while in order to understand what I'm saying. Kind of an inside, not really an inside joke, but information that only those that have been with me a while would pretty much know and understand. But I digress. Let's talk about single family homes and apartments. Which direction do you go? Which is best for you? Particularly with the way the market is right now. Not only the real estate market, but with our economy, where our economy is at right now. Which is the best direction to go? And I think what it really comes down to is really what is most important to you. And so let's talk about single-family homes for a second and the advantages and disadvantages of investing in single-family homes. So let's talk about advantages. First of all, advantages, there's a lot of them out there. So they're pretty easy to find. Pretty easy to find a single family home to invest in as a rental property. Now, let me qualify something for just a second. I'm not talking about flips, you know, buying and reselling. I'm not talking about rehabs. I'm talking about buying a single family home and an apartment building for that matter too. And it's going to be a longer term investment. You're looking to invest in real estate for the longer term. And my definition of long term for this podcast anyway, guys, is 5 years or longer, okay? So let's take out foreclosures, bank repossessions, rehab properties. Let's take all of that out of the equation for just a moment, okay? And let's just think in terms of buying to hold at least 5 years or longer, okay? All right, back to single family. Well, as I said when I started, a big advantage is you've got a lot to choose from. You've got a really large range of properties to choose from. You can choose from, you know, a single family home that might be, heck, one or two bedroom, got a lot of age on it, maybe in an older area, maybe in even more of a rundown area that you might be able to get for a very, very low price, but maybe be able to charge a fair amount of rent for it. You know, all the way up to more of even an executive kind of home where you're paying a heck of a lot more for it, but you're getting the kind of resident that understands that it is an executive kind of home and is prepared to pay the kind of rent in order to rent that single family home. And so the real big advantage, I think, first of all, right out of the block is you got a heck of a lot to choose from. You've got a lot of flexibility. And there really is no right or wrong answer. It's more of a personal preference. So I have clients and I know investors that love the lower, I'll call it lower grade kind of single family home. You know, the 1 to 2 bedrooms, they're old. You can buy them for, I'm just going to need $40,000, $50,000, maybe a little more, maybe a little less. But heck, you can turn around and rent them for $800, $900 a month. Well, you know, the cash flow and the income from that's pretty darn good. And so all the way up to, you know, those folks that like those larger and more executive kind of homes, maybe in an more of an established area where maybe the rent payment is making the loan payment, maybe paying some expenses, but not much over that. So a lot of it's personal preference. But as I said, the big advantage is you've got a lot of flexibility here, right? And it really depends on which direction you want to go. And I'm not going to spend time talking about which direction I think you should go when it comes to single family homes, lower end, higher end, in the middle, established area, new construction, something that's 100 years old. I'm not going to do that. That's another topic for another time. But the advantage is you've got a lot to choose from. So you can be as flexible and you can adapt whatever kind of investment you want based on what your personal preference is, right? So that's number one. Number two, price point. Okay, price point. So, you know, a single family home costs less the majority of the time than an apartment building does. So you can go out and buy a four-bedroom house for a lot less than you can buy a 36-unit apartment building, right? So your investment is smaller. You don't have to come up with hundreds of thousands of dollars or even more in order to buy an investment property with a single-family home. You can come up with much, much less simply because single-family homes cost less. So it gives you more flexibility that way, which can be a pretty good thing. Let's talk about the third advantage of single-family homes, at least on my list anyway, and that's management. Okay, single-family homes, by and large, take less time to manage. So when someone rents a single-family home, the majority of the time, they are responsible for some of those smaller light repair and maintenance items. So if their toilet gets plugged up, they've got to unplug the toilet typically. If their sink gets stopped up in the kitchen, they've got to take care of that. They do the lawn care. They mow the lawn. If you're in a climate that you have snow, they will typically do the snow removal. So a lot of those daily cares of life management items with a single family home many times are done by the tenant, saving you management, or if you have a management company, saving everybody a lot of time and money in the process. So that is an advantage. Another advantage of single family homes is financing. Okay, financing. So it's a heck of a lot easier to approach your neighborhood bank or credit union about getting a loan to buy a rental property if it's a single family home, again, versus a 36-unit apartment building. Okay, stack of paperwork and information a bank or credit union needs on a single family home, pretty thin, pretty small. 36-unit apartment building, oh geez. You need last 2 years of income expense information, you need tax returns, you need appraisals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot more underwriting involved with apartments than with a single family home. And so lastly, my last big advantage of owning a single family home is resale. Okay, resale. So if and when the time comes for you to sell that single family home investment, you will, comparatively speaking, you should, I shouldn't say will, I'll say should, you should be able to sell it faster than you would be able to sell a 36-unit apartment building for obvious reasons, mainly size, okay? And you have more people looking at buying the single family home. You have the owner-occupants and you have the investors, don't you? Whereas an apartment building, again, we go back to our 36-unit apartment building, you typically just have investors. So those are the big advantages of single-family home investing. Let's talk about disadvantages now. And I don't have many, but in my opinion, they are significant. They are significant. First of all, let's talk about cash flow. Single-family homes cash flow, in general, is not very good. Okay, in general. Now, aside from the outlier single family home, let's say you buy it for $30,000 and rent it for $3,000 a month. Now, I'm exaggerating, but you know, there are some outliers like that. So let's put those aside for just a second, those kind. And let's just look at what's ordinary and customary. And that would be the single family home, the rental you typically get from your typical single family home investment is enough to usually pay your mortgage, your taxes, your property taxes, your insurance, a little bit of maintenance, and that's really about it. Maybe a little bit of money you can put in your pocket at the end of the day, right? So cash flow is not very good. Typically, a good single family home will pay for itself. It should. That's about it. Not pay for itself and give you a 15% return on cash flow in addition to paying for itself. It will typically more or less pay for itself and maybe give you a little spending money at the end of the day. Nothing wrong with that, by the way. I mean, an investment that pays for itself, better that investment pays for itself than you pay for it, right? But that's one disadvantage, which brings me to the second disadvantage, and that is sometimes you will end up paying for that property. You will be coming out of pocket for a lot of the costs that are incurred by that property. Okay, so let's talk about a couple of those costs. One is vacancy. When you have one house vacant, two or three houses vacant, that's a pretty big vacancy you're looking at. So your $1,500 a month loan payment to the lender, bank or credit union, when you've got an empty house, that's a pretty big payment to be making, relatively speaking, depending on, you know, your financial situation, of course. But, you know, you've got one, you've got a single family home vacant, that's a pretty big chunk of money to come up with when you have vacancies. The second chunk of money that you will typically be coming up with is for repair, maintenance, and capital improvements. So let's use a quick example. Let's say you rent your single family home and you have, at the end of the day, you're able to put $100 a month in your pocket after your expenses. You pay your loan payment, your taxes, your insurance, and you put $100 in your pocket at the end of each month. That's actually pretty good. So at the end of the year, let's say you've put $1,200 of cash flow in your pocket. Not bad, except at the end of the year, that tenant moves out. Uh-oh, now you may have to do some work to the property. Now you've got to maybe replace the carpet. Maybe you've got to paint the property. Uh-oh, looks like the roof might need to be replaced pretty soon. Or, oh, there's some damage in some of the property. But hey, here's the good news. You got a deposit from that tenant, right? So let's say that tenant paid you a $1,500 deposit. Well, that might help, but good luck in being able to keep the entire deposit. It's difficult to do. But let's just, for argument's sake, say you're successful in doing that. So now not only do you have $1,200 a month, $1,200 a year in cash flow, but let's say a $1,500 deposit, now you've got $2,700 in cash to use after this property goes vacant. How fast do you think it will take to use up that $2,700 to get that property just ready to rent again? You're probably going to be pretty close to that $2,000 to $2,700 mark once it's all said and done, if you want the property to look nice. And that's not counting any capital improvements that need to be done. So before I used an example of a new roof. What about a new air conditioner, new water heater, new furnace? Maybe some landscaping needs to be done. Maybe the concrete in that driveway or the asphalt needs to be fixed. Okay. Maybe there's a window issue. You may need to replace a window or two. So the list could go on and on. So the bottom line in terms of disadvantage of houses are expenses can creep up on you and take your cash flow away in very short order. So you may be cruising down a year, even 2 years of having a great rental property house that's paying for itself, paying a little bit of cash flow every month, and it just takes one big repair, one big capital improvement, one big maintenance item to wipe out months and months of cash flow. That is a disadvantage, a big disadvantage, okay? The next disadvantage of single-family homes is appreciation. Now, this is kind of a mixed bag here, and let me tell you what I mean by that. Single-family homes will basically appreciate based on their value, won't they? And so what that means is, if you buy a single-family home for $200,000, it's mainly going to appreciate based on a $200,000 value, right? So if it goes up, let's just say 5% the first year, you're going to be making $10,000 of equity on that, right? And so there's nothing wrong with that, and that's actually pretty good. However, what if you owned $1 million property and it went up 5%? Now you're up $50,000, aren't you? So you're up $50,000 on your 36-unit apartment building if it went up 5% versus $5,000 if it went up on your single-family home purchase of $200,000. You see, again, it's the size that matters in this example. Single-family homes traditionally appreciate at a pretty nice predictable clip, aside from the recent real estate crash we had in 2008-2009. So aside from that, they've gone up, you know, pretty predictably year after year. But they go up based on their current value. So I don't know about you, I'd rather get 5% appreciation on my $1 million property than I would on my $200,000 property. And so even though it's not necessarily a disadvantage in terms of single-family homes increasing in value, because most do, which is good, but compared to apartments, not nearly as much bang for your buck in the world of appreciation, okay? And so if you'd sit down and graph this out, and I recommend you do this, you need to graph out over a five-year period, and by the word graph, I mean, you know, just sit down and map out, okay, if I invest X amount of dollars and I get X amount of cash flow year after year for 5 years and the property goes up in value, you know, let's say 3-4%, but I'm going to have some costs along the way. I might have to fix this. I might have to fix that. This might cost money, etc. You want to go through that exercise. And I know I've gone over it in a real rough manner there just a second ago, but you want to kind of graph that out and see where you think you would be at the end of the day. And again, there is no right or wrong answer here, but it's worth knowing what I just talked about and going through that exercise, right? Because at the end of the day, it's all about money. How much money am I going to have at the end of the day? It's not about being a good manager or a good Samaritan or any of that. It's about how much money am I going to have realistically, not too optimistically now, but realistically at the end of, let's say, 4 or 5 years, 6, 7 years. Okay? So those are the advantages and disadvantages of single family homes. Let's talk about apartments now. Let's talk about the advantages of apartments. The first big advantage of apartments is cash flow. So apartments should provide you, in proportion to your investment, a much, much bigger cash flow than a single family home does. And that's only because in one property, you could have 12, 24, 36 people in one property paying you rent versus one person in one property paying you rent, right? That's really what it comes down to, is it's just a numbers game. So if I own a 36-unit property, I should have a hell of a lot more cash flow each and every month because of that than if I own a single family home. So, advantage, cash flow. Second advantage, occupancy. So, in my 36-unit building, I can have 4, 5, 6 units empty, and I still have a cash flow, and still should have a cash flow, shouldn't I? Even if I have some units empty, some units vacant, if I have some empty, if I have an empty single-family home, I'm upside down if I'm making a loan payment and paying taxes and insurance. I'm upside down already. But if I have vacancies in my apartment building, I'm not upside down, am I? I'm not. So I can absorb some vacancy. I can absorb some of my units, my living units being empty if I own an apartment building. Financing. Now, the advantage with apartments and financing, even though I mentioned that financing is an advantage for single family homes, I mean this in a different way. Banks and credit unions are hungry for apartment property loans. They love apartment property loans. They're constantly looking for apartment property loans. Okay, so being able to find a lender that has an interest in loaning on a good apartment property is not very hard to do. Lenders love good apartment properties to loan money on. And so being able to find a lender interested in loaning you money to buy an apartment property is not that difficult to do. Okay. Then there's appreciation. So I talked about this before, so I won't go over it in a lot of detail. If I own my apartment property, I want 5% appreciation on my $1 million value, $2 million, $3 million, $5 million value. So if I own a $5 million apartment property and it appreciates 5%, I've just gone, my value has gone up $250,000. That's pretty good. And think about this. Let's say you don't own the whole property yourself. Let's say you only own, let's say 10% of it. Well, 10% of $250,000 is $25,000. I doubt your single family home is going to appreciate $25,000 in 1 year. I'd be surprised. You never know, but I'd be surprised. Right? So you've got bigger numbers, bigger appreciation means bigger returns to you in terms of value when it comes to apartments. Okay. Let me give you what I would consider the biggest advantage for apartments. And it is the demand for them now and the continued demand for them in the future. Here's what's happening financially, folks. More and more people want to rent and have to rent than any other time in history. And this trend is going to continue to grow. It will continue to grow. So, for many people, the most affordable way for them to live, if they want to rent or have to rent, is to rent an apartment versus a single family home. Why? Mainly because of the cost, the rent cost, the rental cost. Okay? So aside from, you know, Joe and Susie want to rent a single family home because they want their own house and they want their own space and all of that. So that's all good, right? But aside from that, the choice of most Americans as we move into the future is going to be renting apartments versus renting single-family homes. So where do you think you should be with that process moving forward? Where do you think you should be positioning yourself? That's right. That's right. That is where the trend is going. And by the way, I'm not saying that every person that is wanting to rent or needs to rent or has to rent now and in the future is going to want to rent apartments. There will be those that will want their own single family homes. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. But the vast majority are going to want single family homes. Excuse me, apartments. Apartments. So that is the main reason, the main advantage, the biggest advantage of owning an apartment building. It's where people want to live now and it's where they're going to want to live in the future. That's really the bottom line. That's really it. So to position yourself there is smart. Very smart. So let's talk about the disadvantages of apartments. Okay? We can't go over the advantage without talking about disadvantages. So let's talk about those. Number one. Management, right? Management. So those examples I gave you with the clogged toilet in the apartment, the clogged sink in the apartment, the running water, all of those, the majority of the time, the owner will have to take care of those issues, right? Sure, you can build things into your lease for residents to take care of small things here and there, but the majority of the time, it is a situation where the owner slash landlord is going to have to take care of those things. Not to mention, when you've got 36 units in one place, 48 units in one place, heck, our largest property that we've got ownership in is 160 plus units. So when you have 160 plus units, that creates a heck of a lot of more management because you have 160 residences right there with people living in all of them. So your management time, effort, and energy is ongoing. And for many, that's a disadvantage. Many do not want to deal with management. Many don't even want to deal with a management company, for goodness sake. That is definitely the case. So disadvantage, management. Disadvantage is buying apartments, right? Investing in them. They cost a lot of money. So if you wanted to go out and buy your own 36-unit apartment building, you better have about $250,000 of liquid cash to invest. Again, aside from creative financing or no money down or things like that, let's just think conventionally here. Conventionally, that's what you're going to be looking at. So again, kind of limits people to invest in real estate, doesn't it? Not everybody has $250,000 to buy their own 36-unit property. Sure, you can buy a 4-unit, 6-unit, 12-unit, and of course that number goes down. But for a decent 4-unit property, you're still going to have to come up with probably $35,000 to $50,000 in investment money. And you have to manage it yourself, more than likely. And most investors do not want to do that. Disadvantage number 3, financing. Well, what are you talking about, Darren? You just talked about how financing is an advantage. It is. But here's the downside of it. Now, even though banks and credit unions love the loan on these kind of properties, be ready to give a DNA sample to the bank or credit union because they're going to want that and a host of other detailed information on the property you're looking at buying because they are going to take it through every known way of analysis you can imagine so they feel comfortable loaning on that property at the end of the day. And of course, I'm kidding when I say DNA sample. Obviously, it's a joke, but the analysis and the information they want is very, very time consuming. Okay, so it is a disadvantage to come up with that kind of information. And you could spend 2 weeks getting information put together, give them every piece of information they require. They take a look at it, and at the end of the day, they say, well, you know what, we're not interested. You know, that could happen. So financing is definitely a disadvantage in that case when it comes to apartment properties. Resale, okay, another disadvantage. Takes a lot longer to sell an apartment property typically than it does a single family home, right? Think about it. Think about selling an apartment property, the time that it takes. So I'll give you a real example. So I'm working on selling a 46-unit apartment property right now. So it has taken so far, it's been on the market now for about 4.5 to 5 months. Twice now, we thought we had the property sold, and those folks that had an interest in buying the property, what do they want to do? Well, they not only want to inspect the financial information and all the records and leases and rental amounts and all those kinds of things, but they want to look at the apartment. So what do you have to do? That's right. Now you have to bother tenants. So you got to notify tenants. People want to walk through and look at their apartments. And what if the tenant's not home? And do they need to be home? Et cetera, et cetera. Then, well, if the tenant isn't home, we want to take a look. And so it gets to be very, very time consuming. Okay, and that is a disadvantage. So you could spend months and months on getting a property sold, and heck, after 6, 8, 12 months, still be sitting there having the property still for sale. Whereas a single family home, yeah, you can pretty much get that sold pretty quickly, can't you? In most cases, right? And then what I would say the last disadvantage of an apartment property is frankly finding a really good one to buy. What do I mean by that? Well, think about it. there are less apartment properties for sale in whatever marketplace you're in today compared to single family homes, aren't there? So call up any real estate agent, go online and do whatever kind of research you want, and I guarantee you, you'll find a hell of a lot more single family homes for sale than apartment buildings. And if the apartment buildings are any good, most of them really aren't really on the market, so to speak. And so the ones you're going to be looking at most of the time are the ones that may not be that great. So finding a really good apartment property is hard to do. It takes time. In some cases, months to find the right one. And so not only does it take a lot of time, but then once you finally found that property, are you going to be able to buy it the right way? So bottom line is it's much, much more time consuming just to find the ideal apartment property to buy than it is a single family home. Okay. And so I've gone over four or five advantages and disadvantages for each property type. And some of the information I've shared with you has probably resonated, and you're, oh, yeah, I understand that. And so depending on what side of the fence you're on, and heck, maybe you're on both sides, you may think single-family homes are the way to go, or you may think apartments are the way to go, or maybe even a little bit of both. So what does Darren Garman think? What direction does he go? What direction does he take? I take a combination. However, heavily invested in more apartments than single family homes. And so if you look at our $35+ million in holdings that we have right now, the apartments, the real estate that we own, 98% is apartments, 2% is single family homes. Okay. So the single family homes that we choose to keep and hold on to are the kinds of properties that we can rent relatively quickly. We have residents that stay relatively longer than most. We can rent them for a, what I would say, more than competitive rental rate. So in other words, it pays for us to own these. They're appreciating at a nice rate. They're good properties. They're not great. They're not wow outstanding. They're good. So they're good enough for us to keep in our portfolio. Okay. But again, 98%+ of what we have are apartments. And why? For all of the reasons that I mentioned, mainly because of the demand for apartment living now and the continued and growing demand that I see coming in the future. That's why. And so we want to position ourselves. I want to position myself. I want to position my partners to be there when the continued demand comes, when we're experiencing it. Because that will obviously be when we'll be getting the most out of our properties, and not only from an income standpoint, but also from a standpoint of looking at selling them, right? Selling them. As the tide of continued interest in renting apartments increases, so will the interest in owning those kinds of assets from people, institutions, partnerships, trusts that want to own those properties too. And I want to be, and I want my partners to be, on the other side of that, having what so many investors will want because of that kind of demand. Again, there will be demand for single family home rentals, sure, but apartments will far, far outweigh the single family home demand. So that's why most of my money, most of my partners' money that is invested with us in our partnerships and in our funds is in apartments and will continue to be. Again, it's a personal choice, isn't it? It's really up to you in terms of what direction you think you would want to go. But what I wanted to do with this week's podcast is really take you behind the scenes and give you kind of an idea of what I think advantages and disadvantages are with single family homes versus apartments. Number one. Number two, give you some things to think about in terms of maybe where to make your next move when it comes to investing in real estate. And number three, I get the question all the time, single family homes, Darren, apartments, Darren, what do you think? What direction should we go? And I've given you a pretty good breakdown of what I think and what direction I prefer, not only now, but in terms of moving forward. Okay. And so that is going to do it for this week's podcast. I appreciate you joining me this week. Great to have you with me. Hopefully you're maybe thinking about this a little bit, and I've caused you to maybe think of some things you may not have thought about, or maybe I've reinforced some of your thoughts on apartments or single family home investments too. In any case, if you have any questions for me, feedback for me, thoughts for me, I would love to hear from you. I'd love to hear our listeners' comments and feedback. So hit me back. You've got my email address. It's all over everything. So get back to me. Would love to hear from you, and would love to communicate with you. Have a great day. Have a great rest of your week. And the rest of your coming days, I hope, will be very, very profitable for you. All right. Take care, everybody. We will see you. All right. Bye-bye.